Welcome, everybody. We're so glad you're here. My name is Melissa Carvel-Zemer. I'm the UUMA's Director of Ministries and Programs, and I'm one of your hosts today of this hour about all things international, a collegial conversation. And I am glad to have the opportunity to host with my colleague Jeanette Lawlier on our UUMA's executive team, two of our colleagues from the UUA's office, which has a new name, which is part of what you're going to get a chance to learn about today. So as I introduce myself just a touch further and invite our other hosts and presenters to introduce themselves, I invite you to do the same in the chat. Tell us, if you wish, your name, your location, your pronouns, anything else you want us to know about your ministry context or yourself. I use she, her pronouns. I live in Western Massachusetts on the ancestral lands of the Pecumtuk and Nipmuc and Nonotuc peoples, among others. And I am zooming in from a little corner of a room in my house with a yellow background and blue curtains. I'm wearing a black sweater with a green scarf. I have dark hair and white skin, and I am really happy that you're here today. Jeanette, would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure. I'm Jeanette Lawlier. You're the Director of Operations and Finance for the UU Ministers Association. Glad to be here. I work out of my home in the Bronx, New York, and this is the lands of the Lenape people, amongst some others. And I am happy to be here. I'll pass to Morgan.
Thank you. I'm Morgan McLean. I am the program manager in the Global Connections and Emerging Communities office, and we'll be talking about this. I am joining you from the Washington, D.C. metro area, and I am a visual description. I'm a white woman, my early 40s, with long brown hair, and I've got a bookshelf behind me. And Alicia.
Thank you, Morgan. Thanks, Melissa and Jeanette, for hosting. And it is so good to see each of you here today. Thank you for joining us. I'm Alicia Ford. I am a moving to the later side of middle age Black woman with locks that are pulled back in a ponytail. Today I'm wearing a black shirt with white embroidered designs, and behind me are bookshelves filled with books. And it is, again, really good to be here and be with you today. I should say I'm calling in from Boulder, Colorado, where I live, which is land of the Ute and Arapaho. And my pronouns are she and her.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. And thank you to all of you who are introducing yourselves in the chat. For those who like to have a preview of coming attractions, what we're going to do this hour is have an opportunity to hear from Reverend Alicia and Reverend Morgan about the work of their office and some of the significant and smaller changes that have been happening in the office and in their work in the last year, especially, but in recent years as well. And then Jeanette and I would like to give you just a little bit of context about some of the UUMA's connections with our colleagues and collaborators in various places around the globe. And then we want to have lots of time for your questions and comments so that there'll be an opportunity to engage in this session as well. So that's our plan. And I would like to start with turning this over now to Alicia and Morgan to tell us about some of what's been going on in their work that we all would benefit from knowing.
Thank you, Melissa. Again, I really appreciate this opportunity to be here and this partnership with the UUMA. So thank you all for being willing to join us in conversation. I'm going to try to slow myself down so I don't rush through all that we have to share. First, I want to say that for many, many years, we have been the international office at the Unitarian Universalist Association. And we've recently changed our name to better reflect who we are and how we operate in the world. So our current name, which Morgan will put in the chat, is the Office of Global Connections and Emerging Communities. One reason we did that is to highlight that relationships are at the center of what we do. And so those relationships are relationships across the world. We went with the word global rather than international because we have this, the reality is international draws on geographic distinctions and borders, and we were really interested in centering relationships with which global does a better job of. Emerging communities captures very well our work with the Holding India program, which some of you probably know about, as well as a growing body of work within the UUA around supporting emerging communities nationally and hopefully one day globally. We have a lot of emerging communities in the Global South in particular, and it is our hope and it's our vision to be able to partner with those communities to support them and to support their growth in Unitarian and Unitarian Universalism. For the work nationally, we recently launched the UU Cultivators Collaborative. So some folks here might be part of that collaborative. I'm not sure. I don't think so. So the UU Cultivators Collaborative is an opportunity for us to support those innovators and teams who are ready to realize their wider vision for Unitarian Universalism and who aren't necessarily operating inside congregations, but have ministries that cater to the communities of which they're a part. So they're invested in working with local communities to do the work of Unitarian Universalism. Our hope and our work this past year has been to offer tailored support at critical junctures along the way to, it's I believe 15 individuals who are engaged in the Cultivators Collaborative. We work with folks who have an idea and who are at the startup phase and really need the solid support to launch their ministry into the world. And so there's the Global Connections, which captures very much the work that we do around the globe with Unitarians and Unitarian Universalists. And then there's Emerging Communities, piece of our office, which is squarely captures our Holding India work, as well as this emerging body of work that is focused on supporting spiritual innovators, whether they are located nationally in the US or globally. What it is we do. As an office, part of what we are invested in as a mission is to co-create opportunities of exchange for mutual learning and transformation. As much as possible, we endeavor to have our work reflect post-imperial commitments, and you'll hear a little bit more about that in a moment. Our mission, which you might hear again from Morgan, is to nurture Unitarian and Unitarian Universalist spiritual and faith formation, to promote justice, activism, and advocacy in relationship with the UU, with the global UU and interfaith partners and with grassroots organization, and to maintain and cultivate strategic diplomatic relationships to advance justice and liberation globally. In a moment, Morgan will speak to how it is we fulfill our mission and tell you more about what it is we do in the office. And when Morgan is finished sharing that with you, I'll come back and we'll share just a little bit more about some of the major shifts that have been happening in our work. So Morgan, if you will take folks through fulfilling our mission and the leadership and design team, and then I'll be back to share about the major shifts.
Yes, definitely. So we are part of the Unitarian Universalist Association, and we are here to serve you and our congregations. And so that is, of course, our primary hope is to be a resource to all of you and the communities that you serve. So we are always in relationship with Unitarians and Unitarian Universalists around the globe, and And we have, within our office, we have ambassadors who are appointed, and Harold, Harold is here. Harold, how long were you the ambassador to the Hungarian Unitarian Church?
Too long, probably like 14 years or something. Yeah.
So yes, thank you, Harold. And just wonderful folks who help us stay connected to these communities and establish long-time relationships that outlast changes in an office or changes within the structure. So it's really good to have you here with us, Harold. And you'll see some new ambassadors coming up and more about that in the coming year. So we hope that we can be part of telling the story of our global faith, and also be a bridge to you. So when you're doing worship services, or if you have adult faith development, or some kind of question about how do we fit into this UU world, we want to be a source for you to understand how American Unitarian Universalism fits in, and what we sometimes say siblings in faith, but maybe we're second cousins twice removed in faith, but yet we come together with deep love and a deep commitment to relationship. Part of that work, and I see some people, I know Katie's here, Katie Skidera and Andrew Weber were part of the UU Partner Church Council board, along with me throughout some time about, so we 5 years ago started asking questions about what is the Partner Church Council, what's the future of partnerships? And I'm just curious, maybe like a show of hands, if you have been, or a congregation you are, or maybe have served, or you were personally involved in partnership at some point. I see a lot of, yeah. So we have had these decades of relationships and connections that have primarily focused on congregation to congregation. The Partner Church Council was separate from the Unitarian Universalist Association, but worked in partnership certainly with the International Office at the time. So along with the International Council of UUs, we started a conversation just before the pandemic about what is the future, and what have we been doing that's that might need some change? Where do we want to be a little self-reflective? What have been some patterns that haven't been great, and how might we do things differently in the future? That group, that discernment group, ultimately came to say, well, if we were to recreate something, we might do it in our image, and we know that's not what we want to do. So that is what led to the dissolution of the Partner Church Council and the ICUU. And as we said at the time, we left fertile ground. We tried to hand over our institutional knowledge, our institutional power, our institutional finances to a new group to start to imagine how global UUs might collaborate in new ways. So that group is called the Leadership and Design Team, and they have been at this for about 2 years now, developing relationship, developing trust, learning about the landscape. They're started with 9 people and ultimately ended up with 7, from someone who was a UU for only a few years, a young adult in Brazil, to the director of the UK Unitarians and sort of everywhere in between, coming together to imagine a new way. So they have come up with this UU Global Network, and I'm going to give you their website too, the Leadership and Design Team website. Where you can read more about their team and also see their vision. And they have just hired a facilitator. So they're not imagining a program like the ICUU or the UUPCC used to do, like not a program staff person, but a facilitator, a connector, someone who helps, you know, oh, you really like song leading? Well, let me introduce you to this other person across the globe who you have to meet about song leading, and then we'll all be excited to attend an international song leading conference. So following the energy and making space for new voices. And they have just announced in the last couple of weeks that facilitator is Esther Mukera, who is in Kenya, and she is relatively new to Unitarian Universalism and just absolutely passionate for the cause and for the idea of collaboration and being part of something so much larger than just one community. So you'll see more about that. If you are involved in a partnership, you'll know that the UUA has continued to support partnerships in this transition time. The global network, we hope, will have some very part-time paid partnership support. And it'll be partnership with a lowercase p as we kind of reimagine, you know, beyond congregation to congregation. But in the meantime, please do come to me. And if you don't know already, we are also helping our office is helping to facilitate the transfers. So find us there if you have partnership questions. What else? Okay, let me get back to my notes. I'm so immersed in partnership all the time that I tend to talk a lot about partnership. So we have these historic relationships that we maintain and cultivate. And over your time as a Unitarian Universalist minister, you will have seen things, I'm sure, about the International Association for Religious Freedom, which we are part of, the Rishiko Sakai in Japan. We have a decades-long relationship with them, and we've done different types of programs, including a few sessions, a few series of young adult conversation groups, which were really interesting. We continue to have a relationship with the Tsubaki Grand Shrine, which is a Shinto shrine in Japan, and I'm going to put another link in there because one of the things that we have is a scholarship to support a seminarian to go to the shrine in Japan. Applications are due February 28th. So if you are interested or you might know someone who is, it's never too early to start planning that. So I'm going to put that in chat for us here. And then Alicia mentioned our Holding India program. This is the 40th year of the Holding India program. The Holding India program was established with a trust, with a gift trust that envisioned support for and solidarity for humanitarian initiatives in India. So we continue to do that, and that we have a director of that program and is very focused on establishing long-term relationships and gives grants for justice work in India. And I want to tell you about our upcoming post-imperial futures teach-in. We have, over the last several years, we call it post-imperial futures. That's been our phrase. Coming together to address the legacy of empire, to explore, reflect, to come together to learn about the ways that colonialism has shaped us and our institutions, to understand our UU history of imperialism. And Fred Muir has a new book coming out soon, so we'll all learn much, much more. And so you might have been part of some of our work with Meadville Lombard and their Light program. We had a conference. We did a GA cohort this last GA. And on November 8th, we have a teach-in. So it's just one day, couple hours, and it's free. Registration is open to anybody with the Reverend Dr. Christina Lazardi Hajbi, and she has a new book, Unraveling Religious Leadership, Power, Authority, and Decoloniality. So it should be a really great program. So please, oh, you see it. Thanks, Alicia, for sticking that in there. Yes, I've been reading it. It's great. It's easy. It's exciting to read, but it's kind of easy because she pulls you in. So. And there is, if you follow those links, there is a discount code from the publisher if you want to buy the book. So I think that's kind of what we do, how we do what we do. I'm going to hand it back over to Alicia.
Thanks, Morgan. So I just want to tell you about two pretty significant shifts that have happening and are happening in what we are now calling the GCEC in our office. One, many of you probably already know about the UU at UN, which was the office that held our connections to the United Nations that work, that office has been closed, and the work has shifted to the UU Service Committee. So we at the UUA have used our longstanding relationship and connections, our credentials at the United Nations to support the work of UUSC in that arena. And we are excited to be able to do that in partnership with them to support the work of advancing justice in partnership with UUSC. It became apparent to us that UUSC definitely had the connections and the need for the historic relationships that we held alongside our credentials to be able to bolster their work with their grassroots partners. And so that is one major reason that we made this decision. You'll have more information from UUSC on this coming fairly soon. They recently made an exciting new hire, somebody who will be responsible for holding this work and for holding the relationships with their grassroots partners within and outside of the United States, and who is anchored in networking in the UN sphere. We continue the collaboration with the College of Social Justice, continues loosely. They will continue doing a multi-generational seminar. They did one this year, the first that they were majorly in charge of. And you can expect to hear more from them directly about the multi-generational seminar going forward. This builds on our work of the UN intergenerational seminar that we have now let go. The second change is taking place in front of you right now. As director of the Global Connections and Emerging Communities Office, Monday, the 30th of September is my final day in that role. Morgan McLean is the new, as of several hours ago, acting director of the Global Connections and Emerging Communities Office. And I am delighted that Morgan will be in this role for some time and until the UUA decides what to do next. Morgan, I think, brings a depth of relationship with our folks, warmth, empathy, and a deep care and concern for our global work. She's been a delight to work alongside these past 2 years. I just could not have been luckier to have such an amazing colleague. And I know that she will continue on with holding the vision of this work, but also holding our congregations here in CARE and getting you all invested in our global connections work. So thank you, Morgan, for saying yes. After 16 and a half years, it felt like time for me to leave full-time employment at the UUA. And so I will be there a third time holding our spiritual innovation work, which has become a passion of mine. And I will be half time with the Texas Methodist Foundation doing the same for them as the director of formation in their Thriving Congregations portfolio. And I'm really looking forward to that. It has been a joy these 16 and a half years, and I am so grateful to be able to say, and Morgan, you got this.
Congratulations to both of you, and thank you so much for all that you've shared. It's a lot to absorb, and we really want to have an opportunity for people to respond to all that you've offered up for conversation. And we promised to share a little bit about the UMA's relationship to global connections work, which is so much more modest, but also deeply rooted in the history of the UMA and has some significant elements. So much, much, much more briefly, I think Jenna and I would like to just lift up a couple of items to add to the table, and then we'll move into your questions so you can start thinking about what you'd like to ask or share. So Jeanette is going to talk just a little bit about a couple of historic partnerships that we have held, and then I will share about some relationships and historic partnerships as well. Jeanette.
Thank you. So I wanted to share a little bit about our relationship with other ministerial associations, as we, as our mission is to support ministers, so we focus more directly on those collegial relationships. And we've had as many of you likely know, had a very long partnership or relationship with the UK Ministerial Fellowship. We have Adam, who Adam did his internship in the UK last year, and I was very lucky to be the representative from the UMA last year at their annual conference. We have sent a representative for years and years to participate, to bring news, to share, to hear of the issues, and to hear and to just share fellowship during that time. And it was a lovely to be there. This year, our president, Leslie Takahashi, will go, and the fellowship has invited another UMA member, Linda Hart, from the Pacific Northwest, to come and actually do their program as they start to think about if the ministerial fellowship did not exist, what would we build today? And those of you who have been UUMA members for some while will remember that's the exact question as we started to do our mission and vision work here at the UUMA, the exact same question we asked. If the UUMA did not exist, what would you build? What would you need today? So it is really wonderful to see the parallel and to participate in those conversations and share. And so that was wonderful. And we continue to send representatives and be in conversation and dialogue. There's always a lot of curiosity from the ministers there about participating as members of the Continental UUMA. And we do have a number, and Melissa will talk a little bit more about that, about the members of the UUMA who live in international settings. But there continues to be questions and curiosity about that. We also have ongoing relationships with the ministers' associations in the Philippines and in Transylvania, and we send financial support through the UUMA's annual collection at the differing services during our ministry days. And those are always very gratefully received and used to support, and sometimes the actual ministers themselves, but often the ministerial structures and collegial settings. And we continue to be in conversation and dialogue about those things. So I also share, speaking of Morgan, my notes. Last year, we also sent Derek Jackson, who was our third representative, to the conversation that happened in Prague. And I'm so glad that our lifelong learning manager, Julika Herman de la Fuente, is here, because one of the things that came out of that conversation in Prague, hi, Julika, thanks for being here. One of the things that came out of that conversation that Derek brought back is how we might be able to share learning resources. And as you can imagine, it's a very complicated and rich conversation to have. And just in terms of what the learning needs of the very varying different types of ministries and settings require, but we are committed to being in that conversation and sharing in resources and learning how we might participate as a good partner in these continuing conversations. So I'm going to pass it over to Melissa, who will talk a little bit more about this.
Thanks, Jeanette. I'll just I don't think Jeanette mentioned the Unitarian Ministers Association in India as well as a third of those historic relationships. And just as an example of the ways in which we've been informed by and follow the leadership of our colleagues in the Global Connections and Emerging Communities Office is that we have begun to interrogate how did that How did those relationships come to be in the UMA, between the UMA continentally here in the United States and Canada, and the ministerial associations in the Philippines and in India and Transylvania? And how, in particular, do we understand this, the relationship that we have around taking an offering at our annual ministry days and sharing it between them? And who made those decisions? How did they make those decisions? How do we have an anti-colonialist relationship to those ministerial associations? Those are part of the questions we've begun to ask following the leadership of our colleagues here on the call. And we're really just at a very, very beginning stage of inquiry. The other thing that I will share with regard to individual members of the UMA is that we've come to understand that we have members of the UMA who live various places around the globe, and that we could identify them as part of two different constituencies. One is a constituency of people from the United States, mostly, maybe also from Canada, who are expatriates and practicing ministry in some other country and have membership in the UMA and fellowship by the UUA. And then we have a smaller number of members of the UMA who are practicing ministry in their home countries, who have some kind of relationship to Unitarian Universalists in North America, such that they sought fellowship through the UUA and or attended theological school in the United States or Canada, members of the UUMA, and practicing their ministry in a context in their home context and in their home country. And the needs of those two communities are quite distinctive. And we're just also beginning to try to ask ourselves, what does that mean? How do we understand the needs of our international members? And it's a very beginning part of our work. So I want to stop there so that we have as much time for questions and comments as possible. And I see that we already have one in the chat. And a response. So for the benefit of the recording, I'm going to share this out. And while I do that, I invite you to raise your hand using your actual hand or the Zoom hand, or to post your question or comment in the chat so that we can move into that segment of our time together. So a colleague writes, in my work as a VA chaplain, I minister to people who bear the physical, psychological, spiritual, and moral costs of United States foreign policy. So I'm left wondering, is this the office to be the voice of the UUA on matters of U.S. foreign policy, including legislative advocacy in Washington? And if not this office, who can provide this public witness? And Alicia replies that the UUA is exploring how best to engage this kind of public witness going forward. What other items would you like to discuss of anything that you heard here today or any questions that you brought that were unaddressed? Thank you very much. Nancy, what would you like to share?
I'm excited about the work you all are doing. Thank you so, so much. I'm excited about the evolutions and how the leadership you all are offering. I'm wondering, as I'm serving in this transitional ministry in a really wonderful and healthy, smaller congregation in Georgia, my mind starts to spark with all kinds of ideas about what sorts of relationships or learning that I might help them connect to that would broaden and deepen their engagement. And I guess really my question is, what would you, Morgan and Alicia, before you go, hope that somebody like me serving in this kind of context would take away and would bring back to the congregation itself? What would you hope about those relationships as well?
I would hope that you are that you're able to tell this part of the story, and we know we're going to keep helping you tell the story. I love it when, I mean, maybe you've all experienced this anyway. You have a member who didn't even know there were UUs like outside of their own state, let alone around the world. And there's that really profound connection then to something I think sometimes you use, and maybe in Georgia they feel extra isolated, and to really connect them to something so much bigger than they even imagined. My hope is that we have some, you know, maybe worship resources for you. There are some past worship resources that we have kept there from our UN Sundays. And we've been talking about, you know, having a worship type resource like that that's international or global, so that you have some words and songs. There are some things in the hymnal that you can find, and we can certainly help you find more. So reminding people that they are part of a global story here, and bringing little pieces of our global faith in. And we can even help you, you know, come and speak. We're available for visiting or for working with a worship team who wants to make connections with their partners, or figure out the logistics of having someone even join in on Zoom from around the world. Yeah.
Can I ask a follow-up? And I really, I don't mean it all to sound prickly, but and so whew, breathing. you know, serving in the South now, I want to caution folks who maybe haven't spent much time here against any stereotypes around how isolated we may be. Mm-hmm. I'm serving in a very sophisticated setting. With a deep connections and wise connections to Unitarian Universalism. I'm sure there are other congregations all across the country who have the issues that you're talking about. I certainly have known Unitarians in every place who don't know about our global connections. I'm more interested in how I help bring them into this decolonizing state of mind, and how we educate around that at the same time that we build those connections, right?
Yeah. Well, Alicia, if you're ready to jump in, and I think that Nancy, there are also some resources that we have, I mean, certainly inviting folks to that that teach-in is not just for ministers, it's for anybody. And so we're going to continue to try to build up some of those resources. We have a recorded workshop series, and I'll drop the link for that too. And you know, it's I know we're sort of overwatching recorded workshops, but we do have some resources there, and we'll hope to keep building those up. And I will also drop a link to the resource list that we created. We just started collecting things that people thought were interesting from our cohort during General Assembly around this topic. So books, articles, TED Talks, that kind of stuff. I'll post it right now. Just give me a minute. Yes, right. How could I forget that? Thank you, Alicia. Alicia just posted in the chat that we've been working on a companion to Widening the Circle of Concern to the Commission's report that takes a global lens on some of these issues. And so we're really hoping that it's sort of a study guide. We're trying to get it published for that, published online for that November 8th event. So we'll have that.
Thank you very much. What else would you like to talk about? I suspect some of you came with questions. Let's go to Lisa.
Hi, everyone. I may have missed this part, but with the partner church council having disbanded or dissolved, is there a group who's taking on the work of pilgrimages and education? Sorry if I missed that. I came in a couple minutes late.
That's okay. The pilgrimages, the short answer is that the pilgrimages, the travel, are now being coordinated by the hosts in the country, in the destination. So I can connect you with those folks. We're hoping, we've been working together with our partners. I know the Partner Church Council, for example, used to have a travel guide. We still have those resources available. And then we're looking forward to sort of updating them and having our partners lead some of that work.
Another question, if no one else has one. Is that a yes? Okay. So what, I've been up in Alaska. I came up here during COVID, and it feels like everywhere, like things are just finally starting to get going again. And we have I think culturally a strong awareness of our Alaska Native folks. And I'm just wondering, I know that, you know, a few years ago, I think at a GA, we apologized to the Ute folks when we were part of their oppression. And I'm just wondering if we have more developing relationships with other Indigenous folks in the US and Canada.
Just looking around the room, maybe someone else can jump in here. I know that this is something that the Canadian Unitarians have. They had a process of, I forget what they called it now, Alicia. They had a reconciliation process, and they really engaged in, and we've thought about ways that we can take the lead. But I don't know of any specifically particularly active work. Although there are people within the UUA who are very interested in coming back to the Doctrine of Discovery work. I see Alicia unmuted, so she'll...
Thank you, Morgan, and thanks, Lisa, for that question. So like Morgan said, our Canadian colleagues have engaged in their own truth and reconciliation process, and they have a lot of resources around that. You might remember that the UUA's... organizing strategy team, that was not their name at the time, was very invested and active in the Standing Rock work several years ago. And I believe that those relationships continue. They don't continue in our office. They continue in the office of the organizing strategy team. So one of the things that the UUA is working on going forward is figuring out how we work less in silos and begin to understand the overlaps in our work. Because certainly the question you ask kind of implies that some of that work touches on the work that the GCEC does, but we've kept it separate and we've kept the relationship separate. The short answer is I don't know what it will look like going forward. And the work has been held in another team.
Thanks so much for that important question and for your responses. I think we have time for maybe one more question or comment before we need to end our gathering today. So is there anyone else who would like to introduce a subject? Go ahead, Chris.
Hi, everyone. I know you touched briefly about the United Nations office, and I think I, along with many people in my orbit, are kind of still grieving the departure of the United Nations presence, like a U presence at the United Nations church building. I just checked the USC website. I mean, there hasn't been an update about the United Nations for over a year. I know there was some mention of somebody being hired, but I mean, the General Assembly is like opening this week. And I'm just like, I have no idea like what kind of presence is going on. There used to be badges, like as a organization in consultative status with the UN, there used to be ground passes that were allocated to the UUA that were held by Bruce Knotts in that office that members could access, like if they wanted to participate in something. That I have no idea, like, if somebody wanted to get a grounds pass, like one of those passes, I don't know who they would go to. It just seems like decades of investment in the UN is kind of like hanging in the balance here, and just very concerning. So.
Yeah, thank you, Chris, for lifting that up. The person to contact at UUSC is Laura Randall. And Morgan, if you can throw her email address in the chat, that would be great. I am aware that UUSC is getting ready to make their announcement, but because they're a different organization, I'm not really sure what their timeline is. I'm also aware that they have been doing the work for the last how many ever years, but especially the last year. You know, perhaps what you're pointing to is the thing that we struggle with always, and it's that how do we communicate the work that is unfolding to our supporters, our constituents, our stakeholders. And so that's certainly a conversation we can raise with UUSC. And Their new hire is definitely the one who will be the one holding all the credentials, the passes, and so forth. And so, you know, be in touch with Laura Randall. She's their congregational outreach person. She's the person who will have better answers than I ever could for you about how UUSC is actually engaging and doing this work, which I know they are engaging in doing. Does that help, Chris?
Thanks for asking. I think your question is reflective of a host of questions I've heard over the last couple of years about how what was is moving into what is and what is becoming. And all of us know that managing change is a process. So I appreciate you asking those questions because we need lots of opportunities to understand, reflect on, and engage in the ways that our systems are changing and growing. I think we have time to take this one last question shared in the chat. How are we tapping into the existing wisdom and practices of people who are already ministering from a global perspective and nurturing that exchange? Morgan or Alicia, do you have any responses to that before we end today?
I'm really grateful for that question and reminder. And I think part of what we're doing in this maybe is continuing this conversation and finding people and connecting and figuring out just that this question exists and how do we make space for these for you know, maybe we need an international cohort or a collegial group specifically like that. There is some work in partnership with the UU Church of the Philippines. They are working on a support group for Americans who have Filipino identity. And so there are some things emerging and we need to keep figuring this out and because there is so much wisdom. So thank you, Catherine, for the question. And let's be in conversation more. Yeah.
And I'm glad that Julek is here as well, because we've been trying to find our place, our best place to engage in these conversations. And maybe the UMA can be a collaborator in that in some way. And then I'll just share out this comment. A colleague would appreciate an entrepreneurial UU ministers group, UU ministers doing ministry globally support group. That's another thing we can take into conversation in a collaborative way.
Super happy to talk to you guys about that.
Excellent. I think that's an intersection. Maybe that leads you from your current to your future role, Alicia. I think our time has come to an end. So I want to express so much gratitude to Alicia and Morgan for making the time to come speak with us today, for everyone who could be here now, and for those who will listen to this as a recording later. Thank you so much for being so generous with your time and experience and wisdom. And I want to thank all of you who are coming, who came today and listening later to learn about how our institutions are shifting and changing and growing and how we can all be part of that change and connect in. And lastly, abundant blessings upon you, Alicia, as you navigate a transition in your role. I hope you see all the gratitude and appreciation for you in the chat. Thank you all so much for coming today, and I wish you well as your day unfolds.